Sunday, April 22nd, 2018. Welcome to the Daily Wrap-Up, a concise show dedicated to bringing you the most relevant independent news as we see it from the last 24 hours. So while the government Syria narrative continues to crumble, we need to take note of how this information is glaringly absent from all mainstream media stations, not even to denounce it. They focus heavily on any other event of the day in order to avoid discussing not only that the government lied to push its regime change agenda, but the fact that they each unquestioningly towed the government line, which to many of us is nothing new. But as I've said in the past, sometimes the absence of discussion on a certain point speaks much louder than anything else. And today's story of focus is, surprise, surprise, another odd shooting, a weirdly MKUltra-esque style event, which I will touch more on in a moment as one of today's stories directly relates. But for the first story of the day, coming from ZeroHedge.com, Germany's largest public TV news broadcaster, Syria chemical attack was most likely staged. A senior correspondent for Germany's state media broadcast, ZDF, stunned his European audience during a report from on the ground in Syria when he gave a straightforward and honest account of his findings while investigating what happened in Douma. The veteran reporter, Uli Gack, interviewed multiple eyewitnesses of the April 7th alleged chemical attack and concluded of the testimonials, quote, "The Douma chemical attack is most likely staged. A great many people here seem very convinced." It appears that all local Syrians encountered by the German public broadcast reporter were immediately dismissive of the widespread allegation that the Syrian government gassed its own civilians, which the US, UK, France, and Israel used as a pretext for launching missile strikes on Damascus. The station dialogue was literally, quote, "The world continues to puzzle over whether the banned chemical weapons were used in Douma. ZDF correspondent Uli Gack is in Syria for us. You were in a large refugee camp today and talked to lots of people. What did you hear about the attack there?" Gack responded, "The Douma chemical attack is most likely staged. A great many people here seem very convinced." So now we have Robert Fisk, OAN, Vanessa Beely, all the doctors on the ground, one of the children being used in the video, and now Germany's largest public TV news broadcaster, all stating that this was a staged event. So ask yourself, what is more likely? That all these respected entities, the locals and doctors on the ground who were there, even a child who was used speaking out, as we've seen exposed before, and a vastly growing chorus of independent media are all coordinating in a lie, or all Russian bots, or Assad apologists, or just intentionally misleading you for some reason, or that there is a massive psyop taking place with the intention of creating the false pretext needed to carry out what has been revealed to be the plan of Western powers for decades, the overthrow of the Assad regime. And before you answer, remember that each one of these groups have actually been on the ground in Douma, while these mainstream media stenographers sit comfortably in their air-conditioned studios, regurgitating the government narrative without question. The same government that verifiably lied to us about Syria previously in 2013, about Iraq, Libya, the Gulf War, and on and on. Think about that. For the next story coming out of ZeroHedge.com, OPCW chemical inspection team reaches Douma after issuing statement negating, quote, "Russia cover-up claim." In an official statement posted to its website, the OPCW confirmed the following. The fact-finding mission team, FFM, of the Organization for the Prohibition of Chemical Weapons visited one of the sites in Douma, Syrian Arab Republic today to collect samples for analysis in connection with the allegations of chemical weapons use on 7th of April, 2018. The OPCW will evaluate the situation and consider future steps, including another possible visit to Douma. It is unclear if any of what was collected includes tissue samples from corpses, as it's now being widely reported that the jihadist group which previously held the area, Jaish al-Islam, hastily buried the bodies of alleged chemical attack victims. Though the team was invited to the country by the Syrian and Russian governments, there's been much spin and obfuscation regarding why the team was actually delayed, with a number of media outlets in the West falsely claiming that the Syria and Russia were attempting a cover-up. However, in spite of multiple international headlines, Western leaders and journalists who reside far outside Syria claiming a chemical cover-up conspiracy in the making, the OPCW in official statements confirmed that they were prevented from visiting Douma not by Syrian or Russian authorities, but by United Nations Department of Safety and Security, the UNDSS, which has the final say over OPCW movements within Syria. On Wednesday, April 18th, the Director General of the OPCW issued a statement which proved the Syria-Russia hiding evidence theory was false. On April 16th, we received confirmation from the National Authority of the Syrian Arab Republic that under agreements reached to allow the evacuation of the population in Ghouta, the Syrian military were unable to enter Douma. The security for the sites where the FFM plans to deploy was under the control of the Russian military police. The United Nations Department of Safety and Security has made the necessary arrangements with the Syrian authorities to escort the team to a certain point and then for the escort to be taken over by the Russian military police. However, the UNDSS preferred to first conduct a reconnaissance visit to the sites, which took place yesterday. FFM team members did not participate in this visit. On arrival at Site 1, a large crowd gathered, and the advice provided by the UNDSS was the reconnaissance team should withdraw. At Site 2, the team came under small arms fire, and an explosive was detonated. The reconnaissance team returned to Damascus. We covered this recently and pointed out the fact that there's a lot of information being left out there. Plenty of people reporting that this was U.S.-backed rebels who were opening fire. And there's a lot of interesting points there, but always to point out that there's plenty of other people, including other mainstream stations, that have actually been able to go in without issue. Yet for some reason, the United Nations team was making it seem like it was completely unsafe. So it's very interesting to point that out. But so after all the delays and the UK and US and France pointing fingers to Russia and Syria, claiming they were intentionally hindering the investigation, the truth has finally come out. And yet again, demonstrates who has been lying all along. What I wonder is how some can still continue to trust these government entities, even after repeatedly and continuously being revealed as not just liars, but being behind overt attempts to outright fabricate evidence and entire situations to further their agendas. At some point, we must be able to see this for what it is. Moving on to the next story coming from the freethoughtproject.com, thousands of people in only one state have been in jail for over a year and never proven guilty. Nearly 500,000 Americans are currently being held in jail while they are denied their constitutional rights to a speedy trial, in most cases simply due to their inability to afford posting bail. The problem has become so pervasive that many critics of the American judicial system are up in arms over the phenomenon. In Louisiana alone, there are over 2,000 people who have been languishing in jail for more than a year, all waiting for the chance to prove their innocence. The Louisiana Sheriff's Association was forced to clarify just how bad the problem is after its executive director, Mike Renazza, overstated the number during a recent testimony on the issue. He clarified by breaking down the total number and noting that of those 2,181 people, 1,507 had been held between 1 and 2 years without trial. 448 had been held between 2 and 3 years without trial. 141 had been held between 3 and 4 years without a trial, and 85 people have been held for more than 4 years without a trial. Adding insult to injury, when inmates' cases are finally addressed in court, the cases are often dropped, dismissed, or plea deals offered for some time served. Those who are locked away awaiting trial are considered jailed under Pretoria's detention status. As Americans Quarterly noted, quote, in the U.S., which has the largest pretrial detention population in the world, 20% of its detainees actually had their cases dismissed or were acquitted. Now, this is very shocking news for people who continue to maintain this whole guilty until proven innocent mantra that we have about this country. And the reality here, what they make, and again, this article is, I highly recommend reading, there's a lot of information here, dives into the idea that this is ultimately kind of like another war against poverty here. This is, you know, poor people are the ones who are being hurt the most in this regard. And a lot of these times we're talking about cases where we don't even have the evidence finally determined. It's a hypothetical situation where nothing's been proven, and yet they're held in jail, some of the 85 people, for 4 years. Think about that, where then they eventually come to find out that they're good, it's dismissed because there's no evidence. I mean, that's wild to think about, especially in this, in the land of the free, as we continue to tell ourselves that this kind of thing doesn't happen in this country. I mean, it's a manipulation, ultimately, where we pretend to think that we're no different than some of these other places in the world. At the end of the day, this kind of thing is absolutely contrary to what so many like to think about the way things work in this country. And this guilty until proven innocent mantra, I would argue, has probably never truly existed. But I highly recommend you look into this story because it's shocking to see the reality here. Moving on to the next story coming from ZeroHedge.com, government accidentally releases documents on remote mind control. Just months after the mysterious brain-melting weapon accusations in Cuba, which another story I highly recommend you look into because it's very alarming, that left several U.S. diplomats with long-term mental damage, something very strange has popped up from an even stranger origin. Earlier this year, muckrock journalist Curtis Waltman, who specializes in filing Freedom of Information Acts, wrote to the Washington State Fusion Center, a joint operation between Washington State law enforcement and the federal government, to request information about Antifa and white supremacist groups. He received a satisfactory response to the question he had asked, but as Waltman notes, when you send thousands of FOIA requests, you're bound to get some very weird responses from time to time. And so he did. Attached to the response was a file titled EM Effects on Human Body. Inside were documents like this. Very interesting picture showing you kind of the research behind this kind of information. As Waltman writes, what you are looking at here is psychoelectric weapons that purportedly use electromagnetism to do a wide variety of horrible things to people, such as reading or writing your mind, causing intense pain, rigor mortis, or most heinous of all, itching. That's interesting that he words it like that. Now, it's interesting to understand here that this information is something that has been widely documented. Now, the question of whether or not this is something that's happening now, or is this something that's old, that's already in use, is for a lot of different questions popping up, as their author makes an important note stating, now to be clear, the presence of these records, which were not created by the Fusion Center and are not government documents, should not be seen as evidence that DHS possesses these devices, or even that such devices actually exist. Now, it's interesting that he makes that point, because I honestly think, I mean, this story has been gone all over the internet recently, and plenty of other outlets claiming this is proof of this, or, you know, shows you the government's doing that. And definitely, I, to a lot of degree, agree with that statement. But it's important to understand what he said there and understand that this is not proof necessarily of anything. But I honestly think it's important for us to understand first the real history behind something like MKUltra that is not disputable today. And it's even verifiable at this point that the program, which the entire point of it was to use mind-bending chemicals to actually manipulate and therefore control somebody's brain and their actions through that. Not only did it actually exist and that they experimented on people unwillingly, unwittingly, but that it continued on well past when they claimed to have stopped it. And even many people point to things happening all the way till today, which again relates back to the shooting we were just talking about. But so understanding that this kind of thing is, you know, this information came out, I also want to point out that I find it slightly, you know, suspicious that maybe this was leaked to him intentionally, another way to kind of shift the conversation away from things we were just talking about. So it's always something to consider that this was an intentional move to get this out in the public. But I would argue that things like this are very real, that this stuff, and there's also plenty of other evidence to support the fact that this has been investigated and researched by the government for a very long time, as well as other governments, Russia, China. This is the kind of thing that's been investigated and researched for quite a long time. But I would argue that because we're looking at these documents and we've known they've been working on this for such a long time, this stuff is very, very possibly and most likely in effect today. That's where my mind goes with this. So relating this back to the shooting we're talking about today, where apparently a nude man walks into a Waffle House and starts shooting people up, it very much sounds like something like this. Now, obviously, it could be anything. I mean, that's complete hypothetical. This could be just some, you know, wacko guy who runs in and does it for whatever reason. But when we're looking at the kind of thing we're talking about, and where all these different recent events where these people, in the stories oddly tend to align with exactly the kind of narrative they want to see here, because now what we're seeing is a lot of these left-leaning channels claiming that, oh, this hero jumped in without anything and took away his assault-style rifle, kind of making the point that, look, we don't need guns to protect ourselves, which is kind of a weird claim to make. But it all kind of, for me, this all comes back to this idea that this kind of information, or at the very least, this kind of mind control, invasive kind of thing is not only very real, but I think is very much in effect today. And that, you know, you can do the research for yourself. There's plenty of evidence to back that up. But, you know, whether this was that kind of a thing, or whether this is just a story being cherry picked by the media to fulfill their agenda and take attention away from the collapsing Syria narrative, that's up for you to decide. But for me, the real takeaway here, whichever way you see this story, is that it is most definitely being used to pull your attention away from other things. And we cannot allow these mainstream media channels to shift the discussion away from the fact that yet another illegal act of war was carried out by the U.S. government based on a lie. one that appears to be created and perpetuated entirely by Western powers and their terrorist lapdogs. We cannot allow this nation to continue to repeat the same horrifyingly disastrous actions in our name, and under the wildly disingenuous banner of fighting for freedom and saving the Syrian people. It has never been more apparent to me that this country is completely under the control of its military ambitions and the corporations which control that direction, meaning that the American people are not now, if they've ever been, dictating even the smallest choice for the seat of federal governmental power. So keep spreading the truth and get this information in front of as many people as you can, be it from The Last American Vagabond or any other station willing to demonstrate what is now a blatantly obvious truth. It is our duty as Americans to do the job that the mainstream media refuses to do. Just as I'm simply an average American who rose to fill a gaping void of integrity left by the mainstream media, so too should you take it upon yourself to fill that gap in any way you are able. For more information on the topics discussed, make sure you check out thelastamericanvagabond.com or any of the important independent sources in the show notes below. And as always, question everything. Come to your own conclusions. Stay vigilant.